This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One night in heaven.
Oh. If I have to sort of like suddenly burst at the song, that is one of my first tracks that I go for.
Is it
that
really?
I grab for,
that's surprising.
That I finger. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Very strange.
I didn't have you as a burgeoning Heather Small.
No, but like Ian Lee, when he used to do a radio show, there was a bloke who used to ring in who had one testicle and he used to shout, "One nut!" And it tickled me.
Oh, you can't say anything these days, can you?
Yeah, exactly.
You can't say anything these days. Disrespectful, that. Heather Small, of course, as part of M People, won the Mercury Music Prize. People forget that.
She did. She beat Pulp's His and Hers, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was for the album Elegant Slumming. And I'm not actually a big fan of M People, but I'm also not really a big fan of Pulp, so I'm quite neutral on that.
My mate, I mean, you can't compare the two, but my mate was it my mate? I think somebody I know... I don't know why I said my mate. Somebody I know the drummer from M People to do a cameo relatively recently.
Shovel? His name's Shovel.
Yeah. Did you tell me this?
No, I just know
his name. Did it on Christmas Day?
Did he?
Did it on Christmas Day.
Why?
Enjoyable. I don't know, just did it on Christmas Day. It's good stuff.
It's probably, if you think about it, on Christmas Day, you've got a lot of spare time.
There's a lot of downtime.
Yeah.
There is a lot of downtime.
Very hectic morning, and then after that, it's kind of people dozing in front of the telly, aren't they? Might as well be productive.
Yeah. That's been my week, really, trying to prep for Christmas. We've got my sister and the little Ben's coming down, so I try to sort of lure my mum and dad to see fit to, you know, come down. But
well, they don't want to, no.
They've said no.
Did they? Why?
Because... they're what's known as fucking weird. Fucking weird. They're so fucking weird. So fucking weird. They're just weird. And this is the forum for me to air my dirty family laundry. Well, exactly. You sort of go, I wonder how Pete got like what he is.
Has the apple fallen far from the tree? The answer's no.
I tell you what, it's just a tree with just a load of like wax apples that are bouncing up and down constantly. It's just in perpetual motion, just constantly bouncing around.
Welcome to twice weekly airing of grievances that has become the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Luke Moore. That's Pete Donaldson. Peter, it's nice you're hosting Christmas. I'm really pleased to hear that. Are you going to be cooking the Christmas lunch, do you think?
Well, I mean, we've got a brand new oven that I bashed in.
It's not what I asked, is it?
Got an air fryer. Could probably do some little nibbles there for the kids.
Do some crab sticks.
Get some crab sticks in there. Hey, I've been doing some real cooking. We went round one of Sarah's mates' houses at the weekend, and I had what can only be described as a delicious meal. And this man had so many spices on a spice rack, and I got incredibly excited. I said, you know what, I'm going to start to cook things properly instead of just throwing them in the air fryer and upsetting Sarah with how dry everything is, and trying to rescue it with Tabasco. I keep on getting very excited about like making something, but then Sarah will just sort of buy all the constituent parts for the meal she wants to eat, and then go, here they are, cook that. And I'm like, I want to create something, but she knows.
Can I
once
just say,
bitten, 10 times shy.
It's hard for me to think of anything more chilling than on Christmas afternoon, me sat in front of the telly, and there's a lot of commotion, and I call out what's going on, And all I hear back is, it's okay, I'm going to rescue this with Tabasco. That is the last thing I want to hear.
I basically create meals with a lovely festive family Twister board. And I write the I write the different proteins, chicken, cheese, rice. And I put them all in like thing, and then I spin the wheel and see where we end up. And I've got to combine them.
The different proteins, chicken, cheese and rice. What's happening here?
That much food will make your teeth go grey. The it's all a bit topsy turvy.
So, have you got your idea? I mean, listen, we'll do this a bit closer to Christmas in detail, but just out of interest, have you got the idea in your mind? So, when my mum does, in my view, an excellent Christmas lunch for us all, she's very. I mean, she's got a lot of experience, and she plans it all out. She's got a piece of paper writing on it. She does a little list. She's got timings. She's got a little bottle of water there. She's doing it, right?
And it's not water. It's the only way she can get through it.
And she sometimes asks me to come out and help her out with a few bits and pieces, but she's squared it away. All I'm saying is, on Christmas Day, more than any other day of your cooking, failing to prepare is preparing to fail.
Oh,
what
there
are your tactics?
So many, that's the thing, because we cook a roast every single weekend, but I don't know how. The last two times we've done it has been a bit of a shit show, to be honest, Luke. I don't know how to explain it otherwise. Things just seem to be cooking at various different rates. I think when you put a lot of stuff in the oven, obviously the temperature goes down because it's cooking a lot more stuff. But, oh, man, what
depends
a mess.
Depends on the oven, brother. Depends on the oven. You put a brand new oven in there, maybe it's maybe it just takes you a while to get used to it, because I know that if you go and cook in a different oven, they're all kind of approximate, aren't they? So it's difficult to know. But what I was going to say to you, actually, Peter, was just that people listening here might think, oh, maybe sometimes Luke and Pete would, you know, Luke was at a loose end, he had nothing to do, or something was going, you know, maybe his wife was over in the US. Luke's got a good chance of being fairly near the top of the list. Has been invited to Peter's for Christmas lunch, you know, because he might be on his own.
If you're wrong,
because I got invited to your housewarming party, I think, 2 hours before it started, just so you could tick the box that you'd invited me, knowing I would never come.
I don't remember that. I think we said we were having a Halloween party. We've not had a housewarming.
Whatever it was. It was a party of
whatever
some description.
Yeah, I just
felt tremendously disrespected again.
But I'll tell you for why. Nobody else got invited earlier than that, to be quite frank.
Well, I can believe that.
I just said we're having some food, come down.
I've got my own thing. Just come down to Leon C.
Come down.
We're having some food, just pop over. It's 3 hours away.
It's not 3 hours away.
I've got a little theory about that anyway.
Right, okay.
You don't want me there because you know how good my stories are.
If the walls could talk, they'd just be talking about you because you've been
saying,
in the walls.
I wouldn't dream of stealing your thunder in your own home. And I think you're paranoid about that.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that last New Year's Eve, Sarah invited one of her oldest friends around, and he is part Dutch. And one of the people I chose to bring to the place was a drunk man who works in the city, who said, "Oh, you're a cloggy, are you?" which I'd never heard as a thing to call Dutch people. You're a cloggy.
Did they get offended?
I mean, it was 5 minutes within them all meeting, so it was a bit weird. But I think they got over it.
But the way you said that, a drunk man from the city, did you know them? We'd just meet you on the
phone.
What do you mean, who's this? It's, what's your name? It's Graham.
It's Graham. He's got his tie around his head. He's a salary man.
He hates Dutch people. It'd be great.
it's just all very, very stressful.
Peter, have you been... Listen, we struggle for content at the best of times, so let's not do Christmas all show in November.
No. Well, I would say that you've actually spotted me on a long lens eating some delicious food.
Oh, that was amazing. That
Haven't
was incredible. I've got
you?
To tell everyone about that. So
you sent me a video.
Well, let me tell you the story. I'm in the kitchen. I was cooking a HelloFresh. And
they're very complicated, those kind of meal things. But when you do them, they're really satisfying.
Yeah, good.
You've done it all yourself.
It's good. It's almost like cooking with stabilisers on.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, but it's really satisfying when you get it done. I was surprised how many small kind of little condiments that they put in there.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Ingredients.
It's very good. And there's no wastage either. I mean, I'll tell you what, they should probably sponsor this show because we both use them. They're good.
I think they have. They have, and they possibly are. But I would say that they're certainly sponsoring a couple of our things. But I would say that at no point in the recipe does it say, look, if you fucked it up at this point, just put some Tabasco on it.
I have to say, about a week ago, and I will get to this story. I know it's frustrating when we go off on tangents like this, but I will get to it. I've not forgotten. But I will say this. The other day, I had a recipe that they sent me for like homemade burgers or something. Right. And I just couldn't bring myself to do it. But okay. I was hungry. And right. So I just took the lovely looking brioche buns, toasted them, and made myself two bacon sandwiches. And, and then the Wi-Fi I have access to come out and was like, how are we going to make these burgers then? Because I don't think there's any buns.
White bread. I'll just cut around some white
and
bread.
Really, like,
in a circle.
Like wiping crumbs off my mouth. So anyway, so I'm in the kitchen making a HelloFresh. And there's about a 7 or 8 minute bit of downtime. What I tend to do is I'll listen to the radio. I'll switch between 5 Live or 6 Music or something, or sometimes even talk sport, depending on whoever's on. And then think to myself about how much better I was at it than them and get annoyed and then put 5 Live on anyway.
Just drop them a hate text.
But sometimes I'll watch Netflix on the laptop or whatever. So I'm there. And I just got to the end of a Netflix show. I think I was watching an episode of People Just Do Nothing from memory. Came to the end. I thought, I'm not going to start a new one now because I'll be done in a minute. And I just had a little scroll through my phone. And Big Pav, who... Everyone
it was
listens
Big
to the Ramble.
Pav. I knew it was Big Pav.
Everyone listens to the Ramble will know Big Pav. He actually lives quite near Pete.
If he's that big, why have I not seen him in my town?
He's always asking if I can if he can have your number so we can invite you over for a beer, but I'd never pass it on because I think it's rude. And I know how socially awkward you get with people who are confident, so I didn't think you'd like it. So anyway.
You two together, honestly.
I know, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it?
We Big Pav. Big you could teach me how to be a good keeper.
Big Pav says he prides himself on saying he's always the loudest person in any room he's ever been in. So that's me saying that. So anyway,
is he from this area? Because I guess there's quite a lot of lads who are they're quite.
I'm scrolling my phone and I see a WhatsApp from Big Pav, and he says, "Watch this video and see if you can spot anyone you know in it." And Big Pav is a very self-aggrandizing man, so I'm basically priming myself to look for his big bald head in the video. And it's a promotional video in the form of an Instagram reel for a local restaurant in Leigh-on-Sea in Essex. So I'm watching it. And I'm thinking, okay, this is fine, you know. And there's music playing and there's people in the restaurant. Picture the scene, like an advert, people eating dinner, but you can't hear them, you can only hear the music. And who pops up but little Petey.
Little Petey. Having a passionate conversation with my partner.
Yeah, well, this is where the plot thickens. So Pete's in the foreground, talking to the partner he's got access to over
having
dinner.
Having a cheese board.
In a candlelit restaurant. And you think, that's nice. He's just been included as part of the... restaurant's promotional material. He looks like everyone else anyway. People won't even notice that. I think at this point, I hand the story over to you, Peter, because when I made you aware of this, you first of all couldn't believe that I'd seen it, that it had somehow fallen on my door. But secondly, you told me quite a troubling story about the take itself and what you were actually saying in that scene, but not picked up on mic. Take it away.
So we were having a lovely wine.
How did they come about, first and foremost? What were you doing there?
So Sarah's been wanting to go to this new place in sort of Chalkwell, in between Leigh-on-Sea and Southend. And she... it's called... I can't say this without my accent really taking over. It's spelt C-O-R-K-D-O-R-K. So
Cork Dork.
Cork Dork. So I just sound stupid saying it, right? Yeah. So number one, can't say the place.
It's like a wine place, right?
Yeah, so it's just wine. And after 6 p.m, cheese boards.
Nice.
And it was very nice. We had a couple of bottles of wine. I don't drink a lot of wine, so I was leathered. and suddenly the manager came around and asked every table, do you mind if we film a promotional video for the Coke Dunk? I just want to make sure that no one's having an affair or anything, basically.
Really? That's so funny. We're in Essex.
And so at one point, this lady turns up with I think it was a DJI Osmo 3, sort of leveled out camera, in the doorway to the place. And me and Sarah clocked it, And as soon as you know that the camera's on you, you start to sort of act unnaturally. So the first time she did the sweep, we're just sort of half looking at the camera. And we're like, well, don't look at the camera.
Yeah.
So then I pretended to
Sarah's an actor, isn't she? So I mean, she should
know. Sarah's an actor. Sarah's a very good actor. And I panicked and just started dicking about. So if you watch that video, that promotional video for the Cork Talk, you may be able to pick out me mouthing the words to Sarah, aviation fuel won't melt steel beams. Now, 9/11 was an inside job. All this stuff. And I hope that nobody notices that I'm talking about 9/11 conspiracy theories on the promotional video for the Cork Talk. There's your social for this week, Rory. Stick the video on. There you go, brother.
When I found that out, I watched it back and my wife came in and she was like, oh, what are you watching? I said, oh, it's Pete in this video. She said, oh, fine. She said, why are you laughing? And I was just like, I don't think we haven't got enough time. Like, I just can't do this from start to finish in a way that you won't be bored. We've both got things to do.
Slightly offended as an American as well.
It's just Pete being Pete. Tend to satisfy people's curiosity when you say it's just Pete being Pete.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
Cork Doc.
It's just not what I expected to see.
Cork
Doc are getting you for free. You're a very marketable person.
They should be paying money.
I've seen your hourly rates for voiceovers.
Exactly.
Be delighted to get you for nothing, no matter what you're saying on the old voiceover. But anyway, listen, let's have a quick break. When we come back the other side, we've got a very interesting email or two to do, and I think we should definitely do them, and some other stuff to talk about as well. So don't go anywhere. Let's go.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I can't start the next part of the show, Luke. I've got a burp coming.
Do it. Go do the burp.
It's gone.
Welcome back to the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Luke Moore. That's Pete Donaldson. This is normally traditionally... I mean, there's no traditional, really, with the Luke and Pete Show. We do some emails sometimes in the second half, so why not do it here? Peter, do you want me being compared with Jeremy Clarkson by a listener?
Yes, please.
So it's an email that's emailed directly to you, Peter. So do you want to read it or do you want me to read it on your behalf?
You read it on my behalf.
Fucking lazy cunt. All right.
Why am I lazy?
Hi, Pete. You always say that Luke is Jeremy Clarkson. Do you? Not when I'm around you, don't.
No, you call me the hamster, and then I flip it on you and say, "Ha ha,
yeah,
you're him."
So him being in the Daily Mail surely helps him towards his final form. Just like I just thought I'd show you in case you hadn't seen it. Cheers, Lewis. All right, Lewis, yeah. You're a grass, are you? That's what it is, isn't it? So basically, what happened was, let me explain this.
Yeah.
I had a tweet appear in Daily Mail, which I'm actually not very happy about. I wouldn't have agreed to that. I guess I've got no recourse, but it was a tweet, I suppose, so it's public domain.
Yeah.
Let me start the story properly from the beginning. So about 2 weeks ago, I had a tweet on the route from the Ramble account, right, which the social guys and the actual young core producers we work with thought was so bad, two of them went on a rampage trying to find who did it so that they could stop them doing it again. Not thinking it was me, but it was.
Yeah, when I saw that tweet, I thought it was some people.
Yeah.
I was blaming them. I mean, it was just a big fucking cock, mate.
Well, you're doing me a disservice there, right?
Very graphic. Very graphic.
A publicly known figure in a pair of Speedos on the beach with a chubby on will always be funny. Let's agree on that,
not,
at least.
It's not even chubby, though, is it? It's proper, like, warship ready to fucking fire kind of escalation.
So I posted that, and the football player in question had just been named as the German national team. And so I thought, this is a picture of him receiving the news. I think it's quite a funny joke. You don't. That's fine. I've got no problem with that.
I think it's dirty. Because I'm usually beyond reproach when it comes to taste and decency. And I was just shocked.
Well, your comedy's either really offensive or just confusing. Like... And you get it about 3 months later because Pete, you're so far ahead of the curve with this madness that no one knows. So anyway, I became the laughing stock of the company for the next 2 weeks about how crap I was at Twitter, and then the worm turned.
I hope not.
I did. Yeah, not that worm actually. I did a tweet talking about comparing the World Cup in Qatar to Firefest.
Yeah.
And at the time of recording, Peter, it's actually got. Let me just double check for you. It's got 22,200 likes.
Right.
Picked up on the Daily Mail. I'm in the Daily Mail.
You listen to all... People will listen to the Luke and Pete show and listen to Football Ramble. I'm 99% certain I've referred to it as Firefest. And I think June did as well.
Oh, that's disappointing. But not on the shows I've been on.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that it's... fundamentally... it's an incredible, astonishing number. I happen to think that it came in the week that that our dear leader Elon Musk was fucking about with Twitter, and the figures just went wrong.
Well, I was just about to say, Elon Musk taking over Twitter has been fantastic news for me. All of a sudden, the algorithm loves my stuff.
This is the guy I want everywhere.
I'm getting algorithms by Elon Musk are doing me a favour, and I'm in the Daily Mail.
Yeah. I've told you before. I've given up. I can't buy a win on that particular social platform. So fuck it. And I'm proud that you managed to absolutely break through. Like you wouldn't believe.
Well, I'm not that happy about being on the Daily Mail. If they had emailed me asking me for permission, I would have said no. I don't know that they've got a screenshot of my tweet on their website. I'm not happy with it.
Under two other people who are saying the same thing.
Yeah, but I mean, mine's doing the bigger numbers.
It is doing the bigger numbers.
So I mean,
you
got to look. Yeah,
well, you played for the blue check, didn't you? If I'm 99 a month, or
I haven't paid shit. There's no way. Listen, if you see me handing over any money at all to Twitter for any reason, make sure you get me fucking looked at because there's no way I'm ever doing that. So, but thank you, Lewis, for bringing that to Pete's attention so he could laugh at me about it.
Made him read it out.
Yeah, exactly. You've made me sign my own death warrant, effectively. And then, Peter, I want you to do this email. There's an email there. Have you got it in front of you?
I've got it in front of me.
There's an email here from Lauren, which is a very nice email. And I don't think we blow our own trumpets enough, chiefly because I want to, but you won't let me. So on this occasion, we're
it's an email to my... Sorry, the email that you forwarded to my account.
Well, it's in the running order as well, Peter, right in front of you.
Let me just search for it. The problem is I've got a very loud keyboard.
That's not
Cherry
the problem.
NX keys, actually. Lauren's come with this one. Thank you, Lauren. I wrote you a poem. I wanted to write and express my feelings about you and your pod, but I struggled to find the right words, so I wrote a short poem instead. Lauren, let's read it first, but that sounds lovely. Alone in my kitchen, it's been quite a day. Working too hard with not enough pay. The struggle is real and the world's a bit crap. But when I put on the pod, I can forget about that. Alone in my kitchen, but I'm not alone. Because I've got two guys living in my earphones. My worries go quiet as they chatter to me. Sat in my kitchen, laughing into my tea. Oh, that's lovely.
And she also says... Yeah, you're clear.
A 28-year-old Australian Finland... The sort of situation the Police would sing a song about 30 years ago. I'm an Australian in... you're both unendingly excellent and have been a comfort for me living alone far from home. This stranger wishes you all the best in the world. Lauren, thank you.
Thank you very much. I can't even bring myself to take the piss out of that. That's how much I respect that. But if you do want to be on the, if you do want your email on the show, maybe you just write a poem bigging us up and we'll be
make
we're
sure
so
you
transparent.
Fucking do it in. Yeah. Is it iambic pentameter? I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I never know what that means. Like, I know that's
isn't
a type
like groups
of poem.
Of four kind of.
It would be five, wouldn't it? Pentameter.
Four in the stanzas? Oh, I don't know.
Pentameter suggests it would be five. But
Where does the iambic? Maybe the iambic bit means we've removed one of them.
Maybe it's possible.
That's confusing. That's confusing now, Shakespeare, you dick.
And then I want to read this email out, but thank you to Lauren for that. I want to read this email out from Miles. He says, morning all, a quick note for those haircut phobists out there. Now, a few weeks ago, I talked about a friend of mine who's phobic of having his hair cut. The first person I'd ever met who'd outwardly articulated that to me. I know it can be stressful and all the rest of it, and that maybe it's for some people it's a bit like going to the dentist, but I wasn't aware of that. So Miles says, if any of them are in the Northeast... There is a barber who offers a silent haircut option.
Nice.
It's a bit pricier than average up here. I love that. I love that he's saying, if you want me to be quiet, you're going to fucking pay. And he said, I've used it once. Now, after a couple of sentences explaining what I was after, I stuck some headphones in and I lapsed the half hour away.
That's such a good... I think that's so good. Like, you just... It's a silent haircut, £30, wash and haircut. This service is owned by people who... for people who may suffer with social anxiety, sensory issues, or just generally like peace and quiet while getting the haircut. Discuss the haircut at the start, so you end up with a perfect haircut, but after that, we cut the hair and cut the chat. That's nice. I like that. I think they should do that in restaurants. I would pay more to not have... serving staff coming over and asking whether the food's all right when I'm just putting the first mouthful in my mouth.
That's like 5 seconds, though, isn't it?
But
that's all it
like,
is.
I might not be enjoying it.
They're not saying, you know, what are you thinking?
They
don't
care.
They're not saying, what do you think of the latest midterm?
I'm British. You're going to get a tip anyway. Don't worry about it.
I wouldn't pay for that option because I like talking to my hairdresser. She's great.
Yeah.
And
I like talking to your hairdresser as well. I said, fuck him up again, will you, Sophie?
And I like to think I'd like to think that she likes me too, but I looked in the mirror this morning and perhaps she doesn't. but I think it's a nice option. I think it's a really good idea because a lot of people don't really want to be chatting away. I get that. So it's good that they make it clear that they speak to you at the beginning to find out what you actually want rather than you just walk in there and every time you try and say what you want, they go, shh. No
talking. Yeah, it's like a library.
what I would say, though, is Miles doesn't say in the email at all whether he's happy with the result or not. And he doesn't include a picture of his hair. So I'm not sure whether he's making it clear that the haircut is up to standard in terms of what they're actually being paid to do, which is cut hair. If their USP is I don't talk to you, that's fine, but they still need to be able to do the job.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But let's not lose sight of that.
I think you should be able to add different things into the mix as well. I would sort of ask them, I would pay more to get someone who would cut your hair with one of those big scissors they use to open a supermarket.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
I'd like to see that. Samurai sword. I would like you to put, instead of using sort of dry shampoo or that kind of thickening stuff for thin-haired people, I would like you to use suet, please. And just really sort of like just ask weird things and see how far they'd go for it.
This is probably going to be the most middle-class thing I've said this week.
Yeah.
But my hairdresser puts a pound on your bill. So it's a donation towards like environmental causes and stuff.
Okay.
Which is a bit annoying on one level because you know you don't get to you can't really say. I mean, you might as well just fucking go in there and burn a load of oil and say that you don't want to put the, and say that you don't want to put the pound on. But but what's quite interesting is part of the thing they do with that money is they pay for a company to come and collect up all the cut off hair.
Right.
Which then go and process that hair.
Collect oil in the sea.
Oil spills. It's apparently really good for soaking up oil with it in oil spills.
put him in big tights and stuff, yeah, and it sort of sucks it up.
But if you go into Mars's hairdresser, you can't tell him whether you want that or not.
That's
do you
true.
Want to do something environmentally responsible? I'm not saying anything.
But I would say that whenever I go into like a service station, I buy some petrol. The Esso garage near my house always says, do you want to add 25 pence or a pound for charity?
Yeah.
And I've spoken about this before on the show, and we got a bit of clarity from one of our kind listeners who basically said, yeah, it is a tax write-off. So I will press that button with gusto that says no, and I will eyeball the man behind the desk.
Yeah.
And I just hope he knows that I know what the hell's going on. All right?
Yeah, but who's missing out here?
The charity, but also Esso doesn't get to write off that tax. So the Esso loses out, but also Esso loses out. So it's one all for Donaldson.
You never hear from people who don't want big oil companies to pay tax.
Well, no. I mean, even the oil PR people wouldn't say that, but they.
Well, no.
They
I mean, a while back we were really through the looking glass the other week, weren't we? When the guy who runs Shell was like, "Yeah, we should really probably pay more tax." Like, I mean, I've made it very clear to the government they should be taxing us more. And the government is still going, no, fucking not throwing shit all over them. So, no, here we go. You know, we're very stymied. The economy, you know, we want to generate more wealth. You know, we grow the economy. Yeah, we can't be doing this tax stuff. They're saying tax. They're saying
yeah,
do it.
Taxes. We but like you, to be taxed.
Taxes. When you're a kid, it never happened where your mum said, do you want another bit of chocolate pudding? And the kid said, no, doesn't happen. It's the same thing. If they're saying do it, then do it. That's them saying it. Do it.
Mm.
By the way, before we go, can I just ask if you've been watching any of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here?
By virtue of the fact that I want to play the new Monkey Island game, I've been sat while my partner watches it, and I've been playing Monkey Island with my headphones on. So I've seen little bits and bobs.
So yes or no?
I watched Chris Moyles and... do you think Chris Moyles would look like that if he hadn't lost a load of weight? Would that be his default kind of look?
It's
like
a problem
facially?
For us fatties, it's a problem. Because
if you lose it too quick, you
start to look very odd.
Yeah, and he's lost that. He lost that weight like, you know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, or whatever. But like, do you reckon that he would always have looked like that if he wasn't an absolute tank?
What
like,
I found
quite early
is,
on in his
do you know what I found? Someone whose weight fluctuates quite a lot. I'm not trying to trigger anyone listening who has weight issues or anything like that. I mean, I would consider myself to be in the same boat as you if you are.
I have weight issues. I go up and down and I want to fucking lose weight and I can't, but I'm just lucky that fucking genetics have dealt me this little skinny body. But I've still got a little pot belly I would very much like to remove.
Well, what I find when I fluctuate quite a bit and it's kind of a mental thing for me. I sometimes get into the mindset where I'm going to be healthy and I'll be like quite, actually very sort of stringently healthy for say 2 or 3 months. I'll lose loads of weight and I'll just drift off it. But the point I was just going to make was to answer your question in a roundabout way. When I lose a bit of weight, I feel like I look a lot older. I think for me, there's a fleshiness. I'm not speaking on behalf of anyone else. For me, there's a fleshiness.
I think if you were like
and that kind of hides wrinkles and stuff.
I think if you were like, if you lost, like, if you suddenly became like Producer Finn, who's very tall but very thin.
Yeah.
I think you would look very. I don't think you just wouldn't suit it.
You're
too.
It wouldn't work.
It wouldn't suit your frame.
It's
some people. I think that you're perfect weight. I'm not saying.
But if I went, jungle for 4 weeks, I probably would lose a load of timber, wouldn't I? Because you're only eating beans.
Why are they allowed to do it? Why would you sort of? I mean, I guess you know it's a challenge and stuff. But
the reason I asked the question in the first place is there's two reasons. I don't get too earnest because we're going to get out of here in a minute. But just very, very briefly,
and we'll skip over the idea of fucking Matt Hank. Like,
no, we're not going to skip over that because I'm going to fucking do that in a minute.
A company that ITV trying to humanise that absolute shithead.
I was going to come on to that.
It's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well,
the worst.
That's too much. But I think.
we watch United Passions for.
I'll saw you in that wine bar advert. what I was going to say was I'm not very comfortable with the cruelty to animals aspect of it, which I think is unnecessary. That's what I was going to say. But the second point is, I'm not even gonna go to town on Matt Hancock individually, even though I politically don't agree with him, and even though I think he's a fucking idiot. I'm not going to do that because I think that in that environment at that time, it's probably a lot more complicated and a lot more difficult than people think. And I don't think he deserves any credit by any means, but I don't want to go into stuff that I don't fully understand, although I don't think he did a brilliant job. But that's not the point. The point I was going to make was, Pete, one of the biggest issues in our society at the moment is the blurring of the lines between politics and entertainment.
Yeah.
And politicians are supposed to be serious people. They're supposed to take their constituents' needs very seriously, and they're supposed to make big decisions for the best of the country first and foremost. And the fact that it's turned to an entertainment product, far worse than the US, by the way, but they kind of have a different approach to it, and that's probably a conversation for another time. But I think what Matt Hancock has done here has further blurred those lines between politics and entertainment. And ITV have got a lot to answer for that, because they've essentially reduced it down to a kind of love him or hate him, here he is kind of thing. And it's like, it shouldn't be about that. And so that is very, very disappointing to see, because he even himself, because he's such a tragic loser, he said to going in, oh, I just want people to see the human side of the guy behind the podium, you know. All I did was fall in love, and that's why I broke. Like, fuck off. Like, you've got to take responsibility for this. You came into this, presumably, ultimately, for the power, for the money, for the altruistic feeling that you're doing the good for the country, or whatever, however misguided, that's what you wanted to do. And you fucked it up. So the fact that you fucked it up means you've got to take your medicine. And your medicine doesn't involve a rehabilitation on a fucking reality show with other celebrities, because you're not a celebrity. By definition, you are not. It's a category
because
error.
Because he fucked it up. He fucked a load of stuff up. You're famous. But my
point,
I
agree with that. But my point is, even if he did a brilliant job, Pete, he still shouldn't be doing it. He still shouldn't be on there.
But it is. But I think also there's that kind of appetite for that kind of, like, you know, social media needs, like, new meat every single day. They need the Prime Minister saying that they're being very naughty running through a field of wheat. They need Ed Miliband eating a fucking bacon sandwich in the debate. I'm using the debate in big old fucking inverted commas there. But, you know, we sort of have this idea that right is somehow responsible for that. I don't think it is. In that case, having a fucking pop at the government and making everything into a fucking meme is both sides of the chart, I would say, on that one. And it's kind of like we've created it. You know, we've sort of pointed at these fucking bellends and went, what a fucking prick, this is embarrassing, blah blah blah, and then everybody else just tries to gets more juice out of Matt Hancock or whichever fucking public school twit has found himself in the firing line. We're all to fucking blame.
I would agree with that. But I think you should be.
But advertisers shouldn't be fucking advertising on a product that's rehabilitating these fucking nerds.
I think if you sign up to be an MP, you shouldn't be eligible for this stuff. You said, right, I'm relinquishing my right to that.
If you're an MP, you're not allowed to do that, and you get paid a fair whack more money, and you can't be on any boards of anything.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. Totally agree with that stuff. Yeah. Anyway. I think if I'm being totally honest, I look at reality TV generally, and I'm not a TV snob, I watch all different types of TV, as you know. I'd probably say that I'm a Celebrity is the most interesting of them. I'd like to...
Sets it apart, I suppose.
I'd like them to not
less
be
coiffured,
having all these animals in there, because I think that's really unnecessary and cruel. And I would, but aside from that, I think it's a fairly good show. I think Ant and Dec are brilliant. But everyone says that, don't they? It's kind of a thing that people say, isn't it? It is, though, isn't it? You don't find anyone doesn't like them. Which, in its own way, makes me suspicious.
People who don't like drunk drivers? I mean,
Yeah. But that's the thing, Pete. That's my point. In many ways, that accentuates my point, doesn't it?
Yeah. That you're so lovable that you get away with that kind of behaviour.
Yeah.
Mad, isn't it?
Yeah. But anyway, I know Scarlett a little bit, who's in there. Scarlett, she's like the best. She's so nice. And
which one's Scarlett's?
Scarlett Douglas. She's a property presenter. She's been in here a few times. We did a couple of pilots with her.
Right, okay. I get you.
Really lovely. I know her brother a bit as well. He's a good guy as well. So I hope she does well. I don't want to see old Cockles in there. Just don't want to see him in there.
Just don't want to see him.
And this is the thing. Very quickly, everyone's loving the fact that he's given all the challenges and all the horrible things to do. But that's what he wants. He wants the attention. He loves that he's being voted. In his world, getting voted for is brilliant. He loves the votes. So don't feel like you're doing him over by voting for him. You're giving him the attention he wants. You're misunderstanding
it. They sort of talk about Triple H as being, like, nobody's favourite wrestler is Triple H. He created as MJF, the other wrestler, sort of pointed out, The Rock.
Just by being the heel, being the kind of the nemesis.
Steve Austin. So as soon as you walk into an arena, everyone's booing you, and so as soon as your adversary enters the arena, everyone's cheering for you.
Yeah.
So they make more money because this person's a fucking bell end, and real life and politics shouldn't be fucking wrestling, but it is.
No, yeah, it totally
wrestling's
is.
Better.
Yeah, it's very, very similar. And I'd like to see more injuries in politics. I'm only joking.
I'd love to see him take a stunner. His head pop right off.
But it doesn't hurt anyway, does it?
If done properly, yeah. It's very easy to hurt yourself.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if you were the victim of a Stone Cold Stunner and it was done properly by the man himself, it wouldn't hurt you, would it?
No. None of them should hurt properly. I mean, unless you're throwing yourself onto the floor and stuff, but yeah.
Speaking of which, I'm off to throw myself on the floor now.
All right.
We'll be back next time. We'll be back on Thursday for more of this. So look forward to that. Thank you very much to those of you who got in touch. Appreciate you, Mitch. Appreciate you, Lauren, for your lovely poem. Appreciate you, Lewis, for stitching me up. And the rest of you, please do get in touch. hello@lukeandpeacher.com. We're very, very happy to hear from you. If you want anything us, you know, anything you got, want us to talk about, or perhaps you've got an email comment on the stuff we've already talked about, that'd be great. In the meantime, do leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your pods, and tell your friends. It's the most powerful and it's kind of successfully insightful and effective thing you can do to help our show, is tell your friends and leave a 5-star review. I know most of you are no longer listening to this because I've started the tone change, which means the outro is on its way and you moved on to your next podcast by now.
I might shout something weird though.
Exactly. Pete's still here though. You never know what you're going to get.
Gobble.
There we go. See? Thank you very much and we'll see you next time.
Walk this way. I'm just looking at a can of dog food.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.